Thank you, CJ. Good morning. My name's Dan Fennell. I'm real excited to be here. I'd like to thank Pastor Jack and the board for giving me this opportunity. When Pastor Jack talks about how Water Dam is in the business of raising up leaders, he truly means it, and this is a good case in point. Not a lot of churches would give me this opportunity, so I'm extremely grateful. I had the opportunity to sit down with Jack a couple weeks ago, and we went over the sermon. He wanted to make sure I wasn't doing or saying anything crazy. And I admire Jack. He's a mentor of mine, and I'm waiting for these droplets of wisdom, these words of wisdom. And he says, Dan, I looked over your sermon, and you're going to have to lower that microphone. I was like, really? Am I going to have to stand on a box and some... So turn the gears a little bit. You know how there's surveys and questions for everything? When people are asked what their biggest fear is, the top two responses are fear of spiders and fear of speaking in public. So I can tell you, I ain't afraid of no spider. In my work, I speak in public a lot, and I'm typically not nervous, but I am nervous today, so I'm going to sweat a little bit. I'm probably going to forget what I'm going to say, which I just did right now. And the reason is because this is so important to me. My relationship with Christ is the most important thing in my life, and I want to get this right. And in the book James, James talks about how teachers will be judged more stricter, and that's scary to me. So I take it very seriously. So with that, I ask you to remember Pastor Jack and Corey and Andy and Russ in your prayers, because this is a huge responsibility, and they don't take it lightly. And please keep Andrew and Nika and the girls in prayer, and my wife, and my kids in prayer, too, as we go through this journey together. So with that, let's pray. Father God, blessed be your name, Lord. You are the creator of all things. You give us the air that we breathe, and we thank you for that, Lord. We lift up those today that are hurting, that are missing people. Lord, we ask you you just put your hand on their heart and touch them and fill the void and let them feel your love. Father, we lift up those who are in pain and need of healing. Lisa Lane is going to be having a surgery on her foot, Lord, so we lift her up. We ask you for a healing, and we ask you that your will be done, Father. Father, we also, we lift up our youth. We lift up our youth to you, Lord. We ask you that they hear your call, just as Samuel did when you called out to him, Lord. Pray, Father, thank you for every blessing that you give us. We ask you to continue to guide us to a closer relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I get the entire book of Acts, and that book flows really well, but there's a lot to cover, so I have to go really fast, so I apologize. And as we go through this, there's three things that I want you to keep in mind. One is meet, M-E-E-T. Number two is be prepared. And number three is get baptized. So keep those in mind. Meet, be prepared, get baptized. So I'm going to back up a little bit. In chapter 9, we see Peter ending up in Joppa, and he's staying with Simon the Tanner. And chapter 10 opens up in Caesarea with a man named Cornelius, who is a centurion of what is known as an Italian cohort. So historically, here's what we know about a centurion. They had to be at least 30 years of age. They had to be literate, so they were edumacated. They were in charge of typically 100 people. That's why the centurion, centi. And they were the face of the military in the villages. They didn't rule with an iron fist. What they were trying to do is get involved socially. So they were, picture the chief of police in those movies in the 40s and 50s that would walk the beat, and they knew everybody. They understood what was going on in the community, so they were really ingrained in the community. So biblically, this is what we know about this particular centurion. The Bible tells us that Cornelius is a devout man who feared God with his household. He gave generously and prayed continually to God. So here's what we can deduct of Cornelius. Cornelius is a pretty cool guy, man. So he loved God. because he prayed to God continually. He loved his neighbor. He gave to generously. And we don't see that he used his position to gain power in any way. But the big problem that Cornelius had was he was a Gentile. And this account would have stuck out like a sore thumb to the Jewish believers, because back then you were either a Jew or a Gentile, and a Gentile was considered unclean. In most cases, a Gentile didn't have an experience with an angel either. You have Daniel getting his prophecies from an angel. Zechariah learned that Elizabeth was going to give birth to John the Baptist. And then the most important one would be with Mary when she found out that she was going to give birth to our Lord and Savior. So these people were all Jews, though, and an angel was giving them affirmation. But this is a time when Cornelius, he's a Gentile, and he's getting confirmation from God. So show of hands, who here is a Gentile? All right, I would expect 99.9% of us. So back then, we would have been considered unclean because we wouldn't be following the Mosaic laws. We wouldn't have been following the Torah. But here's something that's beautiful. As Cornelius is praying, the angel of God comes to him. And the angel says to Cornelius, your deeds and your prayers are like a memorial to God. And I can't even imagine what that would be like to find out that your good deeds and your prayers are a memorial to God. So the angel tells him, you need to go to Joppa, go get Peter, and bring him back. And Cornelius immediately responds. He immediately does what he felt that he needed to do, what he was told to do. And I read that, and I was like, well, how often do I do that? And we talked about it earlier, you know, what Patrick said, if the Spirit's moving you to do something, do it. Sometimes we don't always respond immediately. Maybe we're waiting to get ourselves clean. It's not always easy to respond to the Spirit. But Cornelius did. Cornelius, he sent his most trusted advisor, two servants, and they head off to Joppa. And then what happens the next day is as the servants are reaching Joppa, everyone at Simon the Tanner's house is getting ready for the meal. They're getting ready to prep the meal, except Peter. Peter goes up on the rooftop, and he's praying. And as he's praying, he has a vision. And in that vision, a sheet comes down, and it's being held up on the four corners, and there's this droop in the middle of the sheet. And inside that sheet, in that droop, are all kind of animals. There's animals, there's birds, there's reptiles. And keep in mind, there would have been clean and unclean animals in that sheet. And the Jewish believers would have never eaten an unclean animal. So as that's happening, Peter hears this voice that says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, by no means, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And keep in mind, again, he's still very Jewish. So this happens. So the voice replies and says, what God has made clean, do not call common. And this happens three times. Three times that happens. So do you think this is extremely important in that God was trying to get Peter's attention? And maybe Peter could be a little stiff-necked at times. And maybe we can be a little stiff-necked at times too. God does the same thing to us. So obviously Peter's perplexed, but we know Peter, he runs head on into the wall, and he's going to figure this out. But before he does, the Spirit tells him that there's three men that are coming to the house. And that's when the three men, that's when the two servants and the Roman soldiers show up. And you can only imagine, here you are, a believer in Christ, when there's a lot of persecution going on, and you hear, and you look out the door, and there's a Roman soldier. So I'm pretty sure these guys are pretty apprehensive of going to the door, right? So Peter goes and he says, I'm the one you're looking for. Who, you know, why are you here? And the men said, we were sent by Cornelius, the centurion, who is a man of God and well-spoken by the whole nation, the whole Jewish nation, and that the holy angel told him to send for Peter so Peter can share all that he knew. And they responded immediately. And that's when Peter went and he met Cornelius right where he was. And what happened the next day was absolutely beautiful. So when Peter gets to the house and he's meeting them right where he is, he sees everybody that Peter loved in that house. So Cornelius invited everybody to that house. It was himself, his family, the people he worked with, his servants, everybody that he loved, he had come to that house because he knew that Peter was going to talk about God. And they were going to share God with everybody that he loved. And do we do that? Are we willing to invite the people that we love to church and to share the joy that we have? Or are we afraid that we're going to offend someone? Are we truly willing to open our homes, our hearts, our lives to those that we love and share the most important aspect of our life? So the world tells us don't. The world tells us to keep it to ourselves, and the world's wrong. They say, don't talk about religion. You'll be pushing someone, you're pushing your faith on someone. But think about this. This is a Jewish believer who could have been extremely persecuted and even killed for going into the home of a Gentile. There's a lot of persecution going on. He could have been put to death. And we're worried about what our friends or our family might think because we're a little Jesus crazy. And I'll take that 8 days a week. So you have a group of Jews entering a home of an unclean Gentile. And this is a big deal. So Cornelius, he's excited. He's so overwhelmed. He gets down on his knees and he starts to worship Peter. And Peter says, no, man, stand up. I'm a man too. Because Peter's meeting him right where he is, and all of his filth, all of his uncleanliness. And so they do this thing. Everything in the Bible, there's a lot of repetition, and there's a reason for that. And they love to recap everything. So Cornelius recaps everything. He recaps the vision with the angel and why everybody's there gathered at this house. And he looks at Peter, and he says, preach. So Peter, he starts repeating what happens too. Again, they recap everything. And he says, God showed me. God showed me that I'm not to call any person unclean. That light bulb went off. He finally got that vision that he had. And he says, God showed me that I shouldn't call any person common or unclean. And then he went off. He started his testimony. And he was prepared to say his testimony because his testimony was simple. He used no 50-cent words. He did the same thing that Stephen did before he was stoned, the same thing that Paul did before he went on trial to the Jewish leaders. He just started simple, just in the beginning. And he said, Jesus was born, and then he was baptized by John the Baptist. He performed all these great miracles, and there were many people who saw him. He was put to death, and then he rose on the third day. And how we're supposed to share the gospel. He fulfilled all the prophets, all that the prophets proclaimed. And then he hits them with the grand finale right here. He says, all who believe in him receive forgiveness of sins through him. And then it happened. That's when the Holy Spirit came on that house. It was a Gentile house. And the Jewish circumcised believers, they were amazed because the Gentiles began speaking in tongues. And you had people from Italy, and you had people that from Palestine, and none of those people really understood each other too much until they were all one in one family under the Holy Spirit, and then they were all speaking in the same tongues. This was the proof, the outward sign of God's approval of the Gentiles. So everybody who raised their hand when I asked if you're a Gentile, raise your hand. This is our proof. This is our Pentecost. This is a big deal. This is another case where that veil was torn, where the barrier of the law was removed from the Gentiles. And the beautiful, and this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Because there are no barriers. We're all called at different stages of our lives, different stages of dirtiness. And I love what Peter says next. He says, can anyone withhold water from these, for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I love that he says that. Can anybody withhold the water? And he's like saying, hey, can anybody stop the sun from shining? The answer is no. Can anybody stop the rain from falling? No. These people are getting baptized. So how do we apply chapter 10 to our lives? You know, we talked about three things. And I'm not going to go into the who, what, when, where of the food restrictions because I put all my faith in Christ. I don't think that's important right now. But how do we apply that? You know, are we meeting people where they are? Are we willing to meet people where they are? You know, we're given three commandments from Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and share the gospel. And when you share the gospel without love, you're doing it wrong. People are hurting. They're seeking. They want to understand more about Christ. And they're not going to respond if we're throwing Bible verses at them or if we're telling them how big a sinners they are. Because they know, because I knew when I was. They're not going to listen. I can't stand like little trite sayings, but this trite saying perfectly fits here, so forgive me. People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you're throwing doctrine at them that they cannot possibly understand, they're never going to get it, and they're going to walk away. And I understand that Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing the word, and I totally agree with that. I would never argue that. But first encounters need to be handled extremely delicately. Paraphrasing, using personal experiences, they'd probably hit a little easier than just pounding the word. And remember, our job isn't to save anyone. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why we bring people to church. We're to proclaim his love to the lost, invite people here. Let them hear the gospel. Invite them into your house. Pray with them. Make them listen to you pray over a meal and start planting that seed. Number two, be prepared to give a testimony. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it in gentleness. Do you know your testimony? Have you ever written it down? In the real world, I'm in sales, and I go to a lot of networking events, and I meet a lot of people, and there's a technique. It's called the 30-second commercial, and you have 30 seconds to explain to somebody who you are, what you do, and why it might be important to them. I'm not the type of person to bring the world into the church. I would totally disagree if we had a smoke machine and fireworks going off during worship, but there are certain things of value that I think we can use, and I think that if you write your testimony down and you learn your testimony and you know it and you're prepared, just like a salesperson does or any business person does, there's extreme value in that. So write it down. Learn it. Be prepared to use it. Because it sounds so much better when somebody asks you, tell me how you came to the Lord, than going, oh. Because my 9-year-old talks like that. And we make fun of her all the time. We say, hey, Reg, what's going on? She goes, I don't know. It sounds so much better. Number three, get baptized. I have an explanation point after that, so I should say, get baptized. Pastor Jack has been talking about getting baptized since we started the book of Acts. He talks about it often, but we've really been touching base on that in the book of Acts. We're commanded by Jesus to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if that's not good enough reason, let me paint two pictures for you. First one is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. When Matt Ivanovich got baptized, it wasn't planned. He felt the Spirit move in him. He heard the Spirit say, "Get in the water, get in the water," and he moved. He didn't have a change of clothes. He walked around in wet underbreeches, but he listened to the Spirit, and he submitted, and it was beautiful. His testimony was awesome. You're going to find this hard to believe, but I was crying back in the corner. Here's the other thing. The second picture for you. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to teach the kids at junior high a couple times a month. And one of the weeks we were talking about Jesus, because that's what you do at Sunday school. And young Caleb Carpy says, "I wish I could walk on water like Jesus." And I thought to myself, that'd be pretty cool. I wish I could walk on water like Jesus. And I thought to myself, probably never going to walk on water like Jesus. Now, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I'm probably never going to walk on water. I'm never going to, you know, probably never heal a blind person or anything like that. And I thought to myself, you know, we're always talking about, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Well, the one thing that we can do that Jesus did, the one physical act that Jesus did, was he got baptized. And we can do the same thing. And we can be more like Jesus by getting baptized. So here's my ask. My ask is that we, as a church, and I know we're doing it because there's a lot of things that we're getting involved with where we are meeting people where they are. My ask is meet the people that are all around us. Every time, God's putting them in front of us. Meet them where they are. Tell them about, let them see the love and the joy that you have, and let them ask about that. And then be prepared when they do ask about it. Know your testimony. We all have a testimony. Some people's testimony has been day one, I've always been in church. Other people, like myself, come later at life. But there's a great story with all that. Know your testimony. Learn it. Write it down. Seriously, write it down. And then if you haven't been baptized, get in the water. Do it. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for having your hands on us. Thank you for just every blessing that you give us, Lord. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your Son coming down and sacrificing himself so we can have a relationship with you, Lord, but we thank you for that, and we praise you for that, Lord. We ask you to put people in our lives that we can share the joy that we have for you, and give them that joy, Father. We give us the opportunity to love on people. Give us the opportunity to just to learn how we came to you. And the Spirit will lead us. We know that, and you tell us that. The Spirit will always give us the right thing to say, Lord. And, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that hasn't gotten in the water yet, that they get out of their way and they be like Jesus and they get in the water. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Rise and sing.